about crypto, which way to go, me right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to episode 4 of Crypto Junkies. We've completed 3 episodes. We get better each time, and we're bringing you along for the ride. So my name is Raul Garcia. I'm one of your hosts today, also known as Ragnar4 in the space. I'm going to go ahead and let my partners introduce themselves.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alexis Morales, a.k.a. Havoc. Thank you for joining us, episode number 4.
What's going on, everybody? This is Daniel Toledo, a.k.a. ThunderMonkey.eth. All right.
And since this is episode 4, it's a special one for me because my favorite number, my special number is 4. That's why I am Ragnar4. So this is going to be a special one. I'll tell you a story about why. So I was born on the 4th, and I had an attachment to that number. And I remember one day I stayed extra time at work to help a client out and get him some good sleep. And so I stayed like an hour extra. I didn't even make that much money off of it. It was just like, hey, I want to help you out. Let's do what we got to do to get you some sleep. And then I went to a corner store, and I was like, I need a beer after this long day. You know, I need a Dos Equis. That's what I'm drinking on right now. So cheers to you.
Cheers.
So then I went to this corner store, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grab a scratch ticket. I'm going to grab whatever number 4 is, my special number. And I paid $30 for that scratch ticket. I waited until I got home. I got into my room. I scratched that ticket slowly, seeing what was happening. And I ended up winning $10,000 thanks to my special number 4.
Oh, shit.
So,
you never told us that.
Yeah, I didn't know that story, dude.
I'm telling you now. So, yeah, it definitely happened right around Christmas.
Hey, bro, can I hold the 20?
I'll send you some looks.
All right, yeah. So you know, what are you guys trying to get into in this episode? I guess we could go into us talking about our experiences in the NFT space. I know episode 3, we got into introducing you guys to the NFT space and how to get started for beginners. I think we're at a good point where we can start getting into our experiences and talk about what really got us into this space.
I say we talk about our biggest win and our biggest loss in the space so far. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I agree. I'll go last.
No losses, bro.
I don't know. Sure, I'll go first. I say my biggest win has been crypto.com. Crypto.com has its own token called CRO or Crow. At the time, we were all at Astro Brewery here in Houston, Texas. That is our meetup location for us to speak anything in regards to crypto, stocks, NFT. So we're all getting drunk talking about crypto, crypto.com, CRO, not crypto total. One of our friends was very bullish on CRO. So at the time, if you were to invest $4,000 into CRO, you were a part of an elite membership where they would pay for your Netflix, they would pay for your Spotify, they would give you 5% on every purchase that you make.
It's 5% for the Obsidian, which costs like
$40,000. Well, let me take a step back. Crypto had its own debit card where you would preload with money and you would use that card like any other credit or debit card, and you would accumulate CRO, their token, and you would either reinvest that token or change it to fiat.
How would you accumulate?
So just with purchases, right? Every purchase you made, you would
get it's a cashback.
Yeah, it's essentially a cashback. And honestly, it was a really good cashback. For example, I was really into like Chase Sapphire Preferred, and they would give you like 2%. But then you have this crypto card that would give you 3% into crypto, into CRO. So anyway, we're all getting drunk at Astro Brewery, drinking their Psychonauts, which is 8% alcohol content. And so I was pretty drunk at the time. So I pulled up the crypto app, and I looked at my friend who already invested $4,000. I was like, hey, should I put $4,000?
Do you want to shout out that friend?
Yeah, Breaking Laws. It is Alejandro. I won't say his last name because I don't have permission to.
Oh boy, Zombie?
Zombie, yes, sir. So anyway, I bought $4,000 worth of crypto.com. the average price that I bought it at was at 13 cents. In 6 months, it turned all the way to $1. So what is that? Like a 5-6x?
Yes,
man. From 4,000, I went all the way to $30,000 off of one drunk conversation with my friend. And I was and I was just so, you know, when you drink, you get kind of confident.
The liquid courage.
Yeah, you get that liquid courage. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to press confirm right now, and I'm going to invest $4,000. Yeah. Boom, $30,000. That's my biggest win.
Yeah.
You got to give it to Astro Brewery on their Psychonauts, dude. Yeah. they definitely hit different.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm going to take a little bit of credit on that win, too. Just because I think you were drunk, but like breaking laws convinced me, and I went in, and then we were there, but I was convincing you to go.
Oh,
in.
You were there? I was drunk. I don't know.
That's why breaking laws was like, he's like, man, you a hoe. He's like, I've been telling you to go, you know, forever. I don't know if you remember that, but.
Well, that's the thing though. You're credible. Not like.
Well, it's because we're OG. We're OG homies, and
yeah,
we're OG RuneScape. So you know, I know. So
right.
I told, you know, he, but the ultimate play comes from Alejandro.
Absolutely.
Because Alejandro was the one that was like raving about Crow, and I'm a degenerate. It didn't take much to convince me.
Exactly.
I was like, let's fucking go.
Easily influenced.
Yeah, easily. And then I was telling you, because then I got on the bandwagon. I'm like, bro, this shit's for real. Like, get in. And then you finally got in. And I'm just taking a small credit because I was the one who received the rewards for the recommendation. So,
oh, you did, right? So, yeah, I used your referral link, not Zombies. He texted me like the night after. I was like, hey, why didn't you use my referral code? So that was my biggest win so far. And, you know, it's crazy that I would like to consider myself knowledgeable in the space, but so far I haven't made a call that has hit. Everything that I've ever hit was based on the group chat. And I take full credit of that because I created the group chat. So technically I helped myself. So
hey, bro, you put the people where they need to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So my biggest loss, I don't think I've ever had like a monetary loss. But for me, my biggest loss was I could have done something, but I didn't. And therefore, I lost a lot of money in unrealized gains. And we're just having this conversation. Lazy lions, right?
Yeah.
So me and Raul were sitting down in my house and we're looking at projects to look into.
This was right after the mint of Star Sailors.
Right after Star Sailors. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah. So anyway, Lazy Lions, at the time, me and Raul were looking at it. The floor price was 0.15, 1.7, somewhere around
1.6 there. 1.6 around there. I know Thunder bought it like 0.12. 0.13.
I did.
So I guess my problem at the time was scared money doesn't make any money, right? 0.17 isn't a lot of money. It was maybe $300-$400
well,
at the time.
And that was kind of like the peak of Ethereum too. Okay. So I mean, Ethereum is probably in the 4,000.
Yeah.
4,500.
Honestly, it was like 3,700 or four.
Yeah, it was up there. Definitely
so
higher.
0.17, we're talking about what, $700 somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Yes.
So but man, 700 isn't a lot of money anymore, right? But at the time, you pulled up Lazy Lions, you clicked on the Lazy Lions, you pressed confirm, right? Well, not confirm, you pressed the transaction to process the transaction.
Yes.
And then it showed up the gas fees, and then it showed the total amount. You moved the cursor all the way to the confirm link, and you looked at me and you were like, hey, you want me to press confirm?
Yeah,
and I'm like, nah, let me think about it, bro.
you said, nah, I'm good, bro.
I'm good. But okay, so a couple, what was it? A couple weeks, a couple days?
Bro, it was like a week.
A week
and a half.
Later. What was the floor price then?
It went to 3 Ethereum.
3 Ethereum. At peak, we're talking about $12,000. I could have converted $700 to $12,000.
Damn, it really got to 3 ETH.
Yes.
Yeah, it really did.
Dude, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why I was crying. Because I fucked up.
So that was their highest point, right?
Yeah, but okay. I mean, so right now, Lazy Lions are back at 2.75 ETH.
Which is still insane, man. Going from 0.1517 to...
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, I'm honestly unaware of this. That's insane.
No, but they're still in like the top 50 NFT projects.
You don't remember me
in like, OpenSeas
coming to the group and just saying how stressed I was. I don't know if you remember that little period, but just like I kept talking about how I fucked up and how I didn't make this money that I needed to make.
Those lazy lines.
Yes.
Wow.
Might as well talk about it. Okay.
So, yeah, go for it. Yeah. I think I have a similar experience somewhere.
So I minted 23 lazy lines.
Oh my god. Dude.
I minted them. I minted 23. And I was a believer because I was in the community. I was in the Discord. Like, it was rampant. Roar. Like, just one of the biggest Discords right out the gate of, like, this whole PFP profile picture NFT boom. And it was so fucking lit. I met so many people. There was a lot of people that were so friendly that were giving me alpha information.
Right.
We would go on Twitter raids and everybody and their mamas was on Twitter and like spamming someone about lazy lions.
Right.
So like, I was just so hype. Like, yo, this is a fucking community. This is what it's about. And then they went up to 0.2, 0.23. And then they hit resistance and they came back all the way down to 0.11. And I was like, you know what? I'm up double. I don't want to waste these. I think I spent like 4,000 or maybe 8,000 or 6,000. I don't want this 6,000 to go to zero. Let me take double. Right. And also another thing that was happening was that I had a little pressure because I was over leveraged. So there was pressure of needing to meet the monetary, needing to have the liquid. In a specific time because I was over leveraged. Because of that, like, I sold most of my lions at 0.11 and some at 0.15 and then like two or three at 1 to 2 ETH.
And I remember that.
And wow, then
I remember.
So essentially I left in the matter of a week later, I left $200,000 on the field.
Ouch.
So I called it. I made a tremendous call and I had the belief, but because of being over leveraged and because of negative outside sources, I let that cave and a week later it pops to 3 and I was right. And I would have made $200,000.
What was your initial investment on it?
Like 6,000.
Okay.
So for 23
lions.
Minted lions. Minted
so eight. Unrealized gains, like
200,000 unrealized. Yeah.
Ouch. But let's be positive. What's your biggest win, man?
Yeah, no, let's be positive. So and also, guys, this is a great example of how you have to become thick-skinned. Like, your skin has to be thick and you can't let things get to you because the space, there's so many opportunities. Yeah. There's so many times that something's from 0.05 and it goes all the way to 5 ETH and then later it crashes. And there's just so much opportunity that you're never going to sell at the peak. For the most part, you'll be lucky if you do, and you're never gonna, and you'll never actually buy at the lowest point. And in this space, you cannot let these opportunities and these missed gains get to you mentally, because then you're out of the game. If you're not mentally there, you cannot perform.
And I think both of y'all would agree with me that right now we're the same way in the 90s where people were investing in the dot-com boom. Right now, we are literally in the NFT crypto boom, where majority of the time you're winning, not losing. And I genuinely, not financial advice, but I genuinely would consider investing in the crypto NFT space, because right now, man, we're peaking and it's just going to keep going up in 2022.
I mean, shit, we had that dip that happened, a week ago? Not even, shit, it's this week was the dip.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we all held pretty strong. Like you said, we're heavily invested into crypto, and I'm really bullish on it. We're into it. Yeah. We're in it to win it. So definitely we're not backing out. We're not backing down. And we're here for the long hold.
So it just goes to show, yes, you got to be thick skin and you always have to be conscious that there's so much opportunity, especially when this boom is currently happening.
Yes. And also, even though that happened to me where I liquidated a week early and then it went astronomical, there's also the inverse where you don't liquidate and you diamond hand and now you're fucked. And that project is worth absolutely zero. And you have a bag of just worthless NFTs.
Can you name call any of them?
Yeah. I mean, I was flipping. I was a day trader for around 2 weeks.
on NFTs?
Yes. Like I made some money. Like, okay, I'll name one. There was these napkins. I was up on OpenSea and there was these napkins that were drawn by this artist. So like he drew them and then just made them as an uploaded them to OpenSea and made them NFTs. There was like this Batman, Superman, super cool looking stuff on napkins. For whatever reason, when you go to activity, you can see who's buying, what's going on, what it's looking like. These napkins, there was a very small quantity available, very small collection. So people were buying them off of the floor for 0.08, 0.16, 0.2, and they were starting to pump, like, for because people are day traders, they're looking to see, oh, what's happening. So I noticed that there was these couple of sales. I went in, I bought a super cool looking one. I bought it for 0.2 and then I sold it for one because, you know, they had bought the floor. So all of a sudden the floor is now like 1.6. I posted it literally a minute later after I bought it for 0.2. I posted it for 1.2 and it sold. Then an hour, two, 3 hours later, it crashes to zero.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got out of there
on the right time. I was day trading. Yeah. So like I and then I went into some penguins, you know,
pudgy penguins?
No, not them. Not them. Some other ones. I went into a derivative of cryptodes. I bought them at 0.04 and then they fucking went up to 0.3, 0.4 and I sold like seven of them.
Nice.
I bought deluxe bears. I bought deluxe bears at 0.07. And I bought like seven of them. I sold from 0.3 to 0.7, all of them.
Right.
So I profited. They went up to 3 ETH and I had a lot of money. I could have gone in like 10, 20 deluxe bears.
Wow.
But who the fuck would have guessed
that
they go to four?
No one.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's when you bring up the community. They held strong onto that project. I mean, shit, you saw it skyrocket. Yeah.
So Raul, before we go to Thunder, what is your biggest win so far?
Biggest win is going to be VFriends. And even though I haven't sold anything, I think I invested $44,000 in May, my first ever NFT project, thanks to Gary V bringing me into the space. And right now I value it as $1 million or more, my collection. And I have three spectaculars and I have one very rare. And one of the spectaculars that I have is a diamond wizard. If you haven't noticed, that diamond wizard, it's going to be one of the main characters in VFriends and their intellectual property and their brand. If you follow VFriends or Gary V, he released already like one of like the animations of VFriends, and the diamond, the willful wizard is in the front there as a character. So that means he's going to be one that's going to be very, very developed, and they're going to build a big brand upon it. You know, it's kind of like if you're one of the Mickey Mouse and Friends, you're one of those. I own it, and I've actually been offered $265,000 on the wizard, and I did not take it. And the reason is because I spoke to Gary V on a Discord chat, on a live chat. I was lucky enough to get picked. I raised my hand and I actually spoke to him. He basically told me that the willful wizard, the diamond wizard, will change my life, that I don't even know what I'm holding on to yet. And it's only going to go to show throughout the years when he's building the brand, because he's never going to let the project fail. And because he things are going to happen, and he knows what I'm holding is going to change my life forever, especially when it comes to renting or leasing tokens, things like that.
One more remark before we go to Thunder. It just goes to show that community is very important in choosing the project, and two, who the jockey is. We're talking about our wins and losses right now. And in both wins and losses, we're bringing up community. We're bringing up jockeys. We're bringing up not too much artwork. Listen to episode number 3, because episode 4 is literally talking about everything that episode 3 is. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so good. Man, let's get to me. Not everybody has a successful story in the crypto world. The crypto space.
Tag them, bro. Tag them.
Thunder Monkey. No, so... So I definitely, it's definitely a learning curve, different experiences in the crypto space. I'm one to attest to that. Yeah, actually, one of the first projects I ever got into just on MetaMask was some random NFT art that I found and I got into. And I'm still holding them to this day just because it brings a value to myself, just knowing that it was my first project that I purchased.
What's that project?
It's random project. They're called the Plague Doctors. They were like $20 at that time. So I was like, you know what? This looks pretty cool. This is before we ever got into discussion of all these cool projects that are out there. But I think the very first project that I was able to get into was because of you guys. It was the Deadheads. Is that the name of the project?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
They're building.
So they're there. I don't think they've let their community down.
They haven't taken off.
They definitely have not taken off.
Let me look up the price. Hold on.
So I got into Deadheads. What was the mint price on them? Like
0.2? Bro, we paid. You got in early at 0.24, 0.25. Most of us paid 0.3 to 0.35.
Damn, were they that expensive at that time?
Yes. Yeah, they were.
Shit. That's actually really expensive because for a project. Of Gary Vee. yeah. So we got into this project, Deadheads, and you know, basically what they are is they're, I don't know, what would you guys call that? Like a
they're trying to become an animated series, right?
Okay.
And they're these animated figures that you own. You have all the rights to. So if you wanted to create shirts from it or figurines, you would be able to sell them at markets and everything would be fine because you own all the rights to the Deadhead that you purchased. And also you're able to stake them. You're able to stake them for show.
You know, the guys were talking about it. We were at Astro Brewery. I was like, all right, well, shit, I think for the most part, we all got into Deadheads, huh?
We all did.
Yeah. Right, you didn't do it. Yeah,
no, so I didn't get
into. So I think there was a handful of us in the group that got into Deadheads. I minted just one of them. I ended up getting some skeleton with some robe and just a cool background. I ended up letting it go shortly after for like 0.1 or something like that.
Oh, you paperhanded?
Yeah, no. So I definitely paperhanded all that stuff, but. My biggest losses, and I think that's where I'm kind of different, set myself apart from these guys, is, you know, I probably have taken the biggest losses in these NFT projects. We can get into Lazy Lions. I picked up a Lazy Lion at like 0.12, 0.13, yep. Something like that in that price range. Like Roel said earlier, it skyrocketed to several ETH, and that's one of the things I missed out. And you know, just so I can remember that, I still keep my Lazy Lion as my PFP on Discord, so I know what I lost.
I like it.
So shortly after Lazy Lions, there was several other projects that we kind of got into as a group. We've gotten into Star Seller Siblings.
Yeah,
and you know that wasn't. And there, you know, so Star Seller Siblings has a really strong community.
Siblings.
They're just one of those projects that haven't taken off yet. They have.
Let me pause you there, man. They have a strong community.
Strong community.
Strong Discord presence.
Yes.
They have a great jockey with JC.
Great, bro.
Influencers.
I fucking
artwork,
love JC.
Artwork is solid. It's solid. Well. Yeah. Like everything that makes up a good project, they have it, but they haven't taken off.
Let me tell you a little bit about the Star Sailors. I feel like whenever they were doing the launch of it and the hype, like they literally valued their community getting a shot at minting. So they didn't hype it up like most projects do. Now that was, in essence, it turned out to be a mistake. And we're learning from it, and JC is learning from it, you know, but like, yeah, they didn't do all the crazy marketing that most projects do. They weren't like pumping it and shilling it. And had they pumped it and shilled it like most other projects, there is no reason why they shouldn't have pumped, because they had the strong community, the jockey, and they had cool looking art. So everything was there.
Yeah.
But JC missed out on the marketing. And it was because he thought that they could grow it organically and continue just with the group and the community that was already there and built.
Right.
but he made a mistake on that aspect. But it's still a very strong community to go into. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my calls and how our group prospers is thanks to Star Sailor Siblings. So even though we haven't like sold our Star Sailors.
Yeah, so it's not a loss yet.
No.
Right.
So it's not a loss.
So we haven't sold our stuff, right? So it's not a loss because we haven't sold. But secondly, because we bought, we are part of that community and we've gotten calls in place. If we're being honest, Star Sailor Siblings onboarded a lot of people to PAC because of JC.
Correct. Yeah.
He made that call, right?
I've made so much money off of PAC.
And well, you know, JC has made several calls and he's been pretty spot on. Like he called out Artifact.
Yes.
Artifact, you know, before it even popped off with Nike.
How much was Cube?
I don't remember. I don't remember Cube. I'm not familiar with how much that went for.
Yeah. So Artifact, go over what Artifact was.
Yeah, so Artifact was some dude out from like somewhere in Switzerland. You know, I don't want to chop it up, but yeah. I think he was out somewhere in like Europe, and they ended up, so he was a designer, kind of like a metaverse designer for clothes, for shoes and stuff. Yeah. And Nike ended up purchasing them.
Yeah.
Wow. Nike.
Yeah. Which is probably one of the biggest things pop off.
I believe at the time the floor price was like 1.5 before he got bought out, and then it jumped all the way to 8, 10.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Plus. Yeah, ETH. It would have been a good price point to get into, is like at that one ETH level.
But that's so crazy because we run into this 24/7.
Yeah.
There's so many projects that we can go into and they pop.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that's it's, you know, it's hard to put your liquid into every project. So, you know, that's just to name a few. But so, you know, after Star Sailor Sibling, you know, we all kind of just did it as a community thing, and not a loss yet. Really hoping for them, and you know, hoping that they pop off in the future.
Yeah.
But so after that, man, I got into several projects. Like Roll started talking about flipping into projects. You guys don't know a lot of this. We don't all like talk about our calls. I got into a bunch of like derivative projects. So I like to use a tool on the internet called icy dot tools. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that website.
What is icy dot tools?
Yeah. So icy tools is a website that pretty much tells you what's popping off in the community, what has the most activity at that current time. So you'll see, all right, this project is number one. They have this certain amount of volume, this many people purchasing them, which means that it's a project that many people are hyped for. So icy tools, it's something that I used a lot in the beginning to kind of try to flip for projects. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. I think you guys have used it before. Raul and my boy Perez, he's used it. And you know, I kind of fell back on that, and I tried my best to get into these projects and get in early, try to flip them. I got into several derivatives, which is probably not the best idea to do. There was a few that I was able to make 0.2, 0.3 profit, but nothing that was worth it. At the end of the day, that's probably been my biggest mistake, is getting into projects that weren't authentic, something that was kind of just copied off another project. That's so, I don't think we've explained what a derivative is. A derivative, let's say there's an original project and somebody just creates the same project just with different characteristics.
Yeah.
Attributes is what a derivative would be. I was the type of guy to get into those projects, and I've definitely learned my lesson. So I say that, but I got into one like a month ago, and or not even, we got into Hex Punks last week.
But that was free.
Hex Punks.
I mean, but I minted 10.
But. Yeah. But you know, so I say I've learned my lesson, but I mean,
they pumped. They did.
Yeah. No, they're there.
But I wasn't there for it. I mean, yeah, I forgot about it, but like, we got them for free,
yeah,
and they went up to 0.03 ETH.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they're there.
One's a win, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's,
we didn't sell, so we didn't win.
Yeah, it's definitely not a loss yet, but holding strong. You know, I've got into, I want to shout out, there's a project called Buttheads that I got into months ago, and it's literally just a face, a butt face. I think they've been announcing that they have a deal going on or a partnership with Dude Wipes.
you guys use Dude Wipes?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Dude Wipes? You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah.
They had like a viral marketing campaign or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Right?
So, they got into some shit with the Dude Wipes. And hopefully,
so you're bullish?
I'm still holding, bro.
You're bullish,
I'm still holding strong. I mean, I minted for like 0.003 like months ago and stuff like that. Yeah. Small projects like that. I don't take them as a loss yet. I'm still holding them. You know, shit like that. You know, let's get into the biggest losses. Or I've got into Alien Friends. I've gotten into Crypto Chicks. You know, shout out Crypto Chicks. Oh, it's shit. It's an all women NFT project.
Aren't they like one ETH right now? Oh damn.
Yeah, bro. So this. So it hurts to talk about this because it's a big loss. But you learn these lessons in holding onto projects that you believe in. Crypto Chicks is one of those projects. I'm all about women empowerment and women in this NFT space, and I think it's a great thing and yeah. It's a beautiful thing that's happening right now.
You fucked up.
Yeah, no, I definitely fucked up. I had 5 Crypto Chicks.
And oh. Oh,
man. I had 5 Crypto Chicks, and I had them at like probably 0.2 ETH each. Right now, they're sitting at 1.3-ish.
Let me look it up.
When I saw around this afternoon.
Let me look it up on Looks Rare.
Yeah. At what price point did you sell it at?
Knowing me, it's probably similar cost to what I bought them. So,
ouch.
Yeah, I would say not much. So a lot of these projects, you know, they probably sit at their price for a while. I'm a very impatient person. I've noticed that in the crypto space. Well,
1.6 ETH.
Ouch.
Bro, come on.
How many did you have?
5, bro.
Oh,
bro.
Come on, bro. That's fucking like 20 grand.
Dude, so that's insane. Yeah, man. So
that's why I got a hodl, bro.
And look, let me tell you guys.
Switch that paper hand shit. Like, we're done with that.
This was 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
what?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. All right, yeah. So I mean, but you guys see, like, it's not always gonna be you're not always gonna have the best experience in this crypto space. You live and you definitely learn from what happens. And I think throughout all these mistakes that I've made has become a learning experience for me in the NFT space.
Let's learn some more. Talk about Walt Disney on BB.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. That's damn. So I definitely did not take a loss on Walt Disney, but I definitely took a loss on the unrealized gains on that. So
how much did you buy it for?
So I bought.
Or what happened? What explain Golden Moments?
Yeah. So Golden Moments was a partnership that Disney did with Vivi and pretty much displaying that their best moments in the Disney universe. You know, Disney, they own Marvel and Pixar. Correct. And
so just like having like very iconic characters, right?
Very iconic characters. You have Elsa, Iron Man, Wally, Toy Story, the truck
with
Toy Story.
What the fuck was Wally doing there?
Hey, bro.
Hey, if you think about it, take a step back, think about it, and Wally, the people sitting in the chairs.
That's us.
That's kind of, yeah. That's
in the metaverse.
Exactly in the metaverse. So they're in the future, bro.
Okay.
They're pinpointing what's gonna happen in the future.
You know what? They must have watched all of the Simpsons episodes.
Yeah, Simpsons predicted it, bro. And that's another, you know, another characters we saw in there is the Simpson. So yeah, so we get into that. I was able to purchase a Walt Disney aftermarket in VV for like 2,000 gems.
Great, bro.
And then I ended up.
How much was mint price?
So mint was 120, 160. Was it 300? No.
I think it was 333.
It might have been. Yeah. So somewhere in that range. I mean, it was below the 1,000 level. So it was definitely cheap, sub 300s.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, it was really hard to get the drop. I ended up getting one aftermarket for 2 grand. That's pretty much been my initial investment into VV itself. I haven't put more than $2,000 into it. So I ended up getting the partner statue, which is pretty much Walt Disney himself holding Mickey Mouse by the hand.
Yeah.
I gave it a few weeks. I see it pumping. I'm one of those guys. I'm like, all right, you know, this shit's not going to go anywhere. People are going to pump it. They're going to dump it with any project. Ended up not being the case. So I sold him for, I think it was like 8,900 gems. Marvel, Disney gets their fee. I ended up walking off with like probably 8,000 gems on that project.
I mean, it's still a 4x.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So I made money off of it.
But what's the price now?
So right now, when I saw earlier, bless you. When I saw it earlier, Walt Disney is sitting at 43,000 gems.
Ouch.
And it's one of those projects that people have been saying that not even just people, so big influencers have been saying to hold it because Disney Golden Moments is going to be one of the biggest things that's happened to VV. And a lot of those projects.
I'm humbled that I'm a big influencer in your eyes. I was on the VV's collectible group.
The Facebook group.
The Facebook
group. Toxic Facebook.
They're toxic group. As fuck right now. Maybe I am too.
You are.
Okay. I posted on there like, hey, I know that 13,000 seems like a lot of money, but don't sell your wallet because this is a holy grail. And in the NFT space, things move fast. And when things are adopted, they can boom. And then someone on the comments asked me, how much do you think it's going to go for? And I said, and this was in November that I posted this. I said, within 3 to 4 months, I can see Walt Disney at 30 to 40,000. It's been less than 3 months.
It has. Minted in December? No.
November.
So like, yeah, late November, it minted.
Mid-November.
And then ended
up. What is it right now? January? January?
Damn.
So less than 3 months.
Less than 3 months.
It's from 2,000 to 40,000.
Yeah. And then just, you know, realizing that not every project is going to have the similar results. You're going to have some that are less, some that are more. Because there's still some golden moments that are sitting like sub $3,000, sub $2,000. And
yeah,
they're definitely, I'm sure they'll be worth some. But so that's one of the projects that I got into.
What about your wins? Because I know we're talking about losses, but I'm sure that you've learned from it and you're going to continue to learn and grow. And we all don't know what's going to do well and what's not going to do well.
Yeah. So
it's definitely okay to de-risk. But what I would say from you talking to us, with whatever you go into, it has to be more precise.
Yeah, agreed.
And then you have to hold for a while.
Because and I think that's the biggest key right there is hold your project for a while. There might be some projects that, you know, you guys get into and then it ends up pumping to, like, you know, you bought at 0.1 ETH and it pumps to 9. That might be something that's worth flipping.
Yeah.
But when it's, you know, it's something that you get into and it's very minimal, it's probably not the best decision to make. But another project that I got into was, as a lot of projects that I've gotten into and kind of have dumped on.
Yeah. Well, how about let's take it another way. Like, what is a good profit margin? Like, how many X's do you need to take in the NFT space?
Yeah.
Because I know with traditional stocks, you're happy with the 20 or 30% or 40%. You're ecstatic if you get 50%. It's fucking crazy if you double your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in NFT space, a double is shit.
It's nothing.
You really don't want it.
Nothing. But I think it all matters. It all comes down to what you're expecting to make. I mean, if you can consistently, like, 2x your money,
yeah.
I think if you're comfortable with that, then by all means, if you can consistently do it at that rate and not, you know, you probably fail once or twice, but if you can consistently do it through a matter of projects, then by all means, why not it be your thing? But when you're in it for the long run and you believe in this NFT space and crypto space, then it's probably the best decision that you hold on to projects. And we're talking about gains, wins. So one of the projects that Perez ended up bringing up to our attention, I'm sure we all would have followed shortly after, was VFriends. They came out with a book. Ended up calling it, so Gary V called it Book Token.
I was already
book
on
games.
It.
Oh, hey, but,
nah, hey, I don't know about that, bro.
Hey, who posted it first, bro?
I don't know.
I was already buying, but when I was busy buying.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, so Perez posted it, but you were in the process because I knew you were behind it. I knew you were right behind Perez, gonna post it. Like, hey guys, let me get my shit first, and then
Raul was saying he was in front of it, bro. He wasn't behind.
I was buying when he was posting, so I was already I was taking care of my shit.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to let y'all know.
No, I get it, bro. You said, fuck us. You go get your own shit.
No. I did not say it. Other than that, I was the one in that meme that I think Albert made with books.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere. Because I went in hardcore wanting you guys to fucking follow me and go in hardcore.
Yeah. It's cool, bro. I get it. You don't fuck with us.
No, I do. It's just...
And I mean, Alex, he posted it and then bought books.
Yeah.
You're being selfish, but whatever.
What do you mean? I was the first guy talking about NFTs, guys. NFTs, please. No,
bro, I knew about NFTs before you, bro. Chill. I just fucked up on them.
Moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
So book games,
yes,
NFT.
So back to what we're talking about is so we get into VFriends book token. So basically, if you bought 12 books from Gary V's collection, you were able to obtain one token. And this included a buying from Amazon. And he specifically said that if you bought from Barnes and Nobles, you had a higher chance of getting something special. He didn't state at that moment, but so, you know, shit, this took what, 5 months later?
Four months later? It was a big,
we spent a while waiting for it.
We waited.
So just recently.
Because we bought in August, right?
We bought in August. And then recently in December, January 7th or 8th is when he officially released these book tokens. And basically these book tokens were just special PFP characters, right?
Yeah.
In his the V World space, V Friends space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I let you know about V Friends.
Universe, world, whatever.
and so I ended up getting these I ended up getting my book tokens. I bought one from Amazon. I bought 12 set of books from Amazon. 12 books from Amazon. I got one token from them, and then I got three free ones from Barnes and Nobles. I'm not gonna tell Gary Vee that, but I got three free tokens from Barnes and Noble. And so, you know, I was pretty close to I ended up selling everything on the IMX marketplace, and I made like fucking two ETH off that shit.
Hey, but honestly though, Gary Vee already knows that people got free shit.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He's talked about it.
I mean, what'd he say? It didn't bother him?
Nope. He said he don't care. He's like, you know, shit happens, and you know, you can choose to be mad if you're just someone who didn't buy, but they at least wanted to. And
right.
But at the end of the day, like, he's going to build the fuck out of his book games and his empire of NFTs. And, you know, if you're along with the ride with him, you know, he doesn't care. He loves you.
Right.
So if you got lucky, it was one of those times you got lucky, and he's all love. So he don't care.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a project, and, you know, I made two ETH on that, and then I reinvested that ETH into that's when I got into Looks Rare.
Looks Rare.
I dropped an ETH in. Well, so Looks Rare gave us our airdrop. I ended up getting 1,200 from the airdrop, and then I ended up buying an additional 1,200 Looks Rare tokens, mm-hmm. which I unstaked to buy Crypto Chicks. But I invested that one ETH into Looks tokens. I invested that one other extra ETH into Rebel Society, which is another women's project that's out there. So I did see that women's projects were popping off.
They're popping off now.
Yeah. So right now they're definitely doing it really big, and you know, shouts out to them. I really hope that they take over this NFT space, because you know, they're here for the long run.
In general, all the women projects are up, all of them, and they're all at that one ETH plus level.
Yeah, and Crypto Chicks is one of the ones that caught my attention, because I think they're a beautiful project. It's one of the original women projects that are out there. They're really, you can kind of relate to them in this real world. See the women that are on there, and it's a beautiful just artwork in general. Just me being me, I've paper handed everything, and I've taken losses. I've taken some gains. Right now I'm kind of just stuck in between, but I've learned from this experience, you guys. I would definitely, from now on, I'm holding strong onto everything. I've given up on just trying to launch into a project without doing my research. I feel, for the most part, I'm more now into the technical part of projects. I look into them. I spend hours and hours researching on what they believe in, what they have coming in the foreseeable future. Sort of like, so when I also got into Landau, which I'm holding five Landau tokens. Basically, they're going to purchase land in the metaverse, which, you know, we talked about in the recent episode. Metaverse is estimated from Goldman Sachs to be estimated to $8 trillion. So hoping they make the right plays on that. I'm holding right now. They're at 0.03 ETH, and I'm hoping that shit skyrockets, and I'm holding for the long run on that.
So there's a bunch of wins and losses that you had, and there's
losses, yeah.
And there's a lot of lessons you learn, you know, thicker skin, and now you know what to look for. I think in terms of all my wins and losses, the lessons that I've learned were just that scared money doesn't make money.
Well, for you, I mean, you haven't really lost.
I haven't really lost. Yeah,
you've done like safe, like little investments, and the ones that you more believe in.
Yeah.
and you haven't really lost, brother.
Yeah, I've gone into maybe 7 projects and all of them have hit. Yeah. So I'm happy about that. I guess it just goes to show, like, if you genuinely believe in it and you do your research and you do your due diligence and, you know, you know that it has community, it has artwork, and it has utility, then it's bound to pop off. Scared money doesn't make money. Even if I genuinely believe in a project, the person that I am, the personal finance individual that I am, the risk adverse person that I am, would tell me, don't put money in there because it's not 100%, right? But I mean, so far I've hit 100%. So yeah.
Then you've done nice with picking what you want to go into.
But did he pick them though?
No.
Or did we call him out for real?
Hey, you call him out. I still pick him. I still confirm, yeah, bro.
Because honestly, we drop a lot of alpha.
A lot of alpha.
Yeah, we do. So, Raul, tell us what are the lessons that you've learned and close it out for us.
Okay. So, pretty much, I've learned quite a few lessons. Now, with me, I've won quite a bit, but I've also lost on some projects. But you just have to learn how to invest. So make sure that you're following all the things that we've just said, the community, the research that it takes, the jockey, what utility they're bringing, scoping out the community and how they're reacting. If they're more hodlers, if they're more diamond hands, if they're people that are going to hold the project, or if they're people who are anxious and people who are, if the floor drops a little bit, they're ready to freaking sell, or they're complaining. Yeah. They're asking for someone to do something so that it pumps the project.
Be patient.
You got to be patient. Oh, another, the most important thing is being patient. You have to invest with money that you can afford to lose. And that means that your investing strategy should more likely be long-term. So that means that you're going to do your research. Once you find a project that you believe in long-term, that means you're holding for a year plus, you're going to leave your money there. So you're okay if it dips. You're okay if it goes to $10. Because you believe in it, and all of a sudden in a year, 2 years, 3 years, that project booms, and all of a sudden you're looking at a 10x, a 20x, a 30x. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much kind of what I've learned. Any closing things that you want to say before we end the episode, Thunder?
No, I mean, so it's like you said, biggest lessons learned, definitely be patient from now on in the future. You know, I'm in it for the long run. Crypto is here in my life and it's here to stay, and I'm very bullish on it. Definitely going to be holding for the foreseeable future, whatnot.
For me, it's just, if I genuinely believe in a project, put some money in there, because fiat time over time is losing its value. Might as well just invest it and see if you hit on something. So far I've been good, and I feel like 2022 is going to be a lot better than 2021. Close this out, bro.
So that is going to conclude the episode for tonight. We talked about some very important things of how to invest in the crypto space. Make sure that you're doing your research. That's the most important part. Being patient, and then also taking an opportunity and a chance on yourself. You can continue to do the same thing and hope for a different outcome, and nothing else happens. You have to take the chance. If you don't, you're going to be left behind, or you'll never know what's on the other side of that yellow brick road. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you for joining us for episode number 4. See y'all later.
Peace.
Peace.
Crypto junkies in NFT talk, turn it on. Crypto junkies in NFT talk, that's my show.
Hello. Let's talk crypto, which way to go, need right info, I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it, technology on the move.